what to talk about, and I opened the Likutei Moharan and I didn't saw no answer. And then I saw the word Eretz Yisrael, and I gave them a knockout through the internet, through the Breslov site, that they all, Bezrat Hashem, needs to come to Eretz Yisrael. Told them, we need you, Chevre, Bezrat Hashem. This is something very important, very, 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 very important, that we all gonna understand that a Jew, when he's not in Eretz Yisrael, he is domek and misha en lo eloka. It's like a person that doesn't have a God. Only in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Hashem Asher, Enei Hashem Elokecha Ba Mireshit Hashana. Only in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is observing in a special way. He's observing everywhere. And he's with you everywhere. But mamash, with amazing loving kindness, he's observing specially in Eretz Yisrael, in a way that a person can never understand and realize the difference between Eretz Yisrael to outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's not the same totally. And we need to wake up in Rachmanut on our friends, on our families that are still over there. Because a person that lives in darkness, I remember my family, we were eating a lot of sugar and chocolates and candies until maybe one year ago. And my kids were mamash addicted to sugar, like every normal kid in this generation. And today when they're eating sweets, they cannot enjoy it. It's not tasty for them at all. They cannot finish, no candy bar. They're eating half of it and this is it. They don't like it. So when a person is used to something, he's enjoying, this is his chiyut. He finds his life inside of that thing. But it's only because he never tastes nothing else. But when you're tasting something else, you cannot enjoy from things that you were enjoying before. Try to put a CD of Megadeth today. Not going to be able to enjoy it like you were. Not have that ability. You cannot find yourself in a club, in a discotheque, hearing trance music, house music. It's going to give you a migraine. You're going to get crazy. It's not. You can drink the amounts of alcohol that you were drinking before, but then you were drinking and drinking, you were addicted to that. Today you don't have that ability, and it's because you become to be healthier. But those people that are outside of Eretz Israel, they have a problem. They have a spiritual disease. They're being contaminated every moment of their life by the air that they're breathing, that it calls foreign air, avir of Eretz Amim. There is halakha in the Shulchan Aruch that when a person is coming to Eretz Israel, he has to dip in the mikveh. He has to purify himself because he was being contaminated abroad. There is tumah over there, and you cannot feel it. A person that is here in Eretz Israel and he's going out, he feels it immediately. Immediately. Even in a shul, even in a bet knesset, people told me, we were there, in a shul, in the Bet Knesset, that we were usually davening over there. We came back for 2 weeks, for 1 month. He said, I couldn't daven one mincha properly. One mincha. He said, you cannot. You're getting crazy from all of the noise and people, thoughts, and you feel the bzzz in the air. You can feel. It calls the cloud, the anan, all of the information inside of the cloud. It's all craziness. It's tumah. It's pashut tumah.
Second base of Mikdash, they made all of the large tumimet. They declared all of the tumimet.
So for us, we need to have mercy on our friends to understand in which darkness they are right now. And we have to give them all of the options to come to Eretz Israel. All of the offerings, all of the... To promise them everything. This is the promised land. Join the promised land and promise everything. You're going to find your shiduch, you're going to find your panasa, and you're counting on Hashem. Hashem, this is the land of all blessings are coming from that land. If you're not here, for sure, you're not going to have no blessing. So, Rabbeinu is saying to us in Torah Kaf Chet, Kaf Zayin. We're still in Torah Kaf Zayin. In part Zayin. V'davka b'mara kiblu Shabbat Shalom. And Borei Olam he chose that place of that caused bitterness to give them Shabbat Shalom, to give us Shabbat Shalom. Kichen derech haShalom, because this is the way of peace. Litlabesh b'mara, to be dressed in bitterness. Person wants to have Shalom Bayit, and the Shalom Bayit is dressing himself in bitterness. What it means? It means that a person can have Shalom Bayit even if he and his wife are not like two pink birds that are smiling and whistling to each other. Even if you have arguments and fights and hard situations in your life, and you are working on your Shalom Bayit, means that you have Shalom Bayit. Means that you do have Shalom Bayit. Shalom Bayit, it means that you're working on Shalom Bayit. Shalom Bayit, it doesn't mean that you're sitting and smiling inside the house. Because sometimes the peace is dressing himself in bitterness, in arguments, in thoughts, in problems, in situations that you have to solve. But by working on your Shalom Bayit, you're creating the peace. Without an effort, you're never going to have the peace. This is the difference between peace that is being created by effort, that this is Shalom Bayit, to the concept that calls falling in love. That we know that in Judaism, the Shidduch, you meet the woman 3 times, 4 times, 7 times, 10 times maximum, and then getting married. This is the kosher path. This is the kosher way of getting married. And outside, you fell in love, and then you have to drag yourself for 7 years, and you're maybe gonna get married. It's all craziness. You see that in Judaism, we're counting on the effort that we're gonna put in the relationship. Because no one is promising you that she's going to be the perfect one for you after seeing her once or twice or 3 times or 7. Just we are teaching you that you should put a lot of effort in your Shalom Bayit. And then actually the truth is that it doesn't matter who you're going to get married to. The truth is that, like Rav Shalom said, a person can have Shalom Bayit with the devil if you understand the rules of Shalom Bayit. Shalom Bayit, you're laughing. I hope you're not married to the devil. Shalom Bayit, it means that you're surrendering yourself to Hashem Yitbarach, not to your wife. Not become to be the mop in the house, that's cleaning the house with you. You are listening to the voice of Hashem. If Hashem wants you to be humble, you're working on your humility, you're going to have Shalom Bayit. When Rabbi Chiya had a very hard wife that was rebuking him and cursing him and screaming at him in the street and in the yeshiva, she was coming to scream at him in the yeshiva, and he was going in the market and buying presents for her. Why? Because he was looking at the good points that she had, that she's helping him to raise the kids, and she's guarding him from sinning, and she's helping him to contain his kedusha, and to she is not stopping him from Avodat Hashem. He's looking at that. And this is supposed to be our desire. The desire of the husband have to be to Hashem, and then the wife going to have a desire to her husband. It means Shalom Bayit. Shalom Bayit, it's not that you have a desire to your wife and she's got a desire for you. This is hell. This is hell. This is not Shalom Bayit. If a man have a desire to his wife, it calls hell. It doesn't call Shalom Bayit. Love and lust, it's two different things. If you have lust and desires, you can never gonna have Shalom Bayit. No chance to have Shalom Bayit when the husband have lusts and desires. Only when the husband is working on cleaning himself, purifying himself, attaching himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem Yitbarach, only in that place his wife desire him. But when the husband have a desire to his wife, the wife, she is rejecting her husband. She cannot bear her husband. She doesn't want to be close to him. She cannot listen to him. She doesn't like him. She disgusts from him. It all depends on how much desire you have. If you have desire only for your wife, it's a good condition. It's not the worst. If you have lust and craziness to other women, so for sure the wife is going to hate the husband. If the husband is looking and wandering with his eyes after women, the wife, she cannot bear him. Even if he's bringing thousands of dollars every month or week to the house, and present, and he's, so to speak, sensitive and caring. If he's got lust and desires to other women, the wife, she feels it and she hates it. She's full with anger and envious and hatred, and she doesn't know what to do with her life, and she wants to die, and she wants to kill herself. She doesn't want to live in this world, because the woman, she wants that to be important, to accept honor from her husband. And if her husband is honoring someone else, she doesn't have no job to do in this world. She doesn't want to be here. And you can cover her with silk and money and gold and diamonds and pearls, and she won't have no life from it. She won't have no joy and no satisfaction out of it. But if you have a desire to serve Hashem, and if you are canceling yourself to Hashem Yitbarach, and you are talking to the Creator and asking from Him, Borei Olam, please heal me and give me power and give me health and give me will to serve You, and you're dedicating your life to Avodat Hashem, immediately your wife, she is attaching herself to you. She wants that kind of a husband. Because the wife, she is a mirror of your neshama, of your soul. She is your soul. Your wife, she is your soul. And if your soul is covered in all of lust and desires, you're going to see lust and desires in your wife. And if your will and your neshama is illuminated and awake and desire for Hashem Yitbarach, you're going to see your neshama desire that same thing. And she cannot find Hashem except from you. From no other way except of from you. So she's going to desire you. So she's running after you, and she's honoring you, and she's buying things for you, and she's chasing after your honor. When you're chasing after Hashem Yitbarach, this is important rules of Shalom Bayit. And this is why sometimes peace is dressing himself in bitterness. Because we have to realize that we are wrong. If you're chasing after desires and lusts, and for you it's okay. Because you don't see, you don't have the purity, the sensitivity to realize that you are wrong. Because the prisoner cannot release himself from prison. So you have to have outside help from outside. And you feel safe, you feel home, but actually you're in a prison that's made out of gold, prison of your lusts and desires, and you feel that everything is kosher. Horrible kashrut. Rav Mahmud kashrut. And you feel kosher. And you're eating treif and you're eating nevelot. And you don't realize that. There is seifim, rules, halachot, in Shulchan Aruch, that you're canceling them. Lot in af, lot achmod, from Aseret HaDibrot, from Ten Commandments. Lo leshaker. It's horrible avonot that we have. And we don't feel them. So Borolam have to have mercy on us. So he's rebuking us. So that rebuke for us, that we don't like the rebuke so much, so it's bitter. But that bitterness is bringing and creating the peace. So actually it's the peace that is dressing himself in bitterness. Bivchinat, in an aspect of what it's written, Hine leshalom mar li mar. Here for the peace, it's bitterness for me. It's bitter. Kemo shekol harefuot, like that all of cures, hem besamim marim, are coming in bitter drugs. No one likes to take bitter drugs, but all of drugs are coming like that. Ken hashalom, so also the peace. Shu refuah lechol advarim, that it's the cure for all things. Bivchinat, in aspect of what it's written, shalom larachok velakarov amar Hashem urfaativ. Shalom, it's the peace. Hashem said to the far person and to the close person, urfaativ, and I'm going to heal him. So Hashem is healing through the peace. Who is healing? The closest one and the farthest one. And everyone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have to treat him in a different way. If you're close, HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to push you away to heal you. And if you're far, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to bring you closer. So Adrabah, when you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing you away, you need to see it as a compliment. That it means that you're close. If you see that you've been rejected from prayers, if you see that you've been rejected from yeshiva, if you see that you're rejected from all of your salvations, it means that you are qualified to be in those places, that you have those abilities to deal with that distance. It means that you have powers to survive, to hold on. It's a compliment. Our souls are all attached. Kol Yisrael arevim ze lazeh. We're bond. A lot of times, you're suffering for other people. And now, if they're going to ask you, if you're ready to take that, to accept it on yourself, you're going to refuse. But for sure that in the world to come, you're going to say, thank you, Hashem Yitbarach, that you let me suffer for my best friend, that I hurt him so much in different lifetime, or for someone else that I hurt him in this lifetime. And you were doing for me the kaparat avonot, the forgiveness, by suffering on something that actually you saw exactly. David HaMelech is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Af ki yipol lo yutal. Even if the person is falling, he's not going to crash on the floor. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guarding him. So you see yourself being falling, pushed to the wall in the speed of 120, 180, and you're sure that soon you're going to crash. By your logic, you're going to crash. But you don't know that there is an angel that is spiritual angel that is standing over there 40 centimeters from the wall, and he's going to hug you when you're going to come to his place. And for sure, Bura Olam put that angel before that he started to push you toward to that wall. But you're not aware to that. This is where we need to use the faith to count on Hashem Yitbarach always, and not to let our logic to mistake us. That we're not going to fall to the mistakes of this world. No chance, look, 50,000 shekels in 2 days, where can I have it, where can I find it? It's not your job to be worried about your panasa. It's Hashem's job to worry about your panasa. Your job is to do tshuva and to daven, and to ask, please, Bore Olam, 50,000 in 2 days. My shiduch, even though that I'm 40. My shlom bayit, even though that she's the devil. Bore Olam, please. From your place, from your level, even if it's low, even if it's low, even if it's hard, to talk the truth, to say the truth to the Bore Olam, to the Creator, and to talk to Him about everything, and to share with Him everything, and to ask from Him all of the salvations, because no one can save you except of Hashem Yitbarach. And even the Rav, even the Tzaddik of the generation, don't fool yourself to think that they can exempt you from your Avodat Hashem. They're going to be punished on that. They're going to be called damned if they're going to do that for you. To take the free choice from you. To take the free choice from a person is to be damned. You're not allowed to take the free choice from a man. Because the gain in the world to come is not on the success. It's on how that he chose in the time of darkness. This is the main test. How are you choosing? What is your desire? What is your will when it's dark? Based on that, you're going to have your success. The success is not always to say the right answer. Because there is the ways in the Torah Kedosha, two ways in the Torah Kedosha. Yesharim ilchu bam uposhim ikashlu bam. Straight people going to succeed in them, and crooked people, poshim ikashlu bam, they're going to fail in the same path. It's actually the same path. It all depends in who you are in that path. So how can I tell you what's the path for you? You have to work on your righteousness, on your kedusha, and by that all of the way is going to be the best for you. Everything that you're going to decide, Hashem is going to be with you. Bechol asher telech, uvirachticha, bechol asher telech. Hashem is going to bless you in every path that you're going to choose. You're going to decide to be a carpenter, you're going to succeed in that. You're going to decide to be a Talmid Chacham, you're going to succeed in that. You're going to decide to be a Baal Tfilah, to be a Mafitz, to be, I don't know who, a messenger, a hidden tzaddik, whatever. To work in a supermarket, you're going to succeed. Hashem is going to be with you. As long as you always going to attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, going to work on your midot. When you work on your midot, to choose Hashem, I choose Hashem, I choose Hashem. We need to choose only in Hashem. Hashem is truth, the Torah is truth, the Tzaddik Moshe Rabbeinu is truth. This is it. This is what we're choosing. This is what we want. On that, we have a huge test. All of the time, foreign idols, foreign tzaddikim, people that are dressed as tzaddikim, and explaining shitot in Avodat Hashem that are totally wrong, kosher shitot, horrible shitot, and not to believe in yourself, to believe that you're bad. There is Hashem that is all good. There is the tzaddik that is totally right, that is canceling himself to Borei Olam, totally. And there is you, that you're also totally good. Moshe Rabbeinu is good, Hashem is good, the Torah is good, and your neshama, you're also good. This is it. This is the truth. This is right. Other side is that Hashem is not so merciful, that He is also angry, and He's not always listening, chas v'shalom. And that the tzaddik can mistake, and there is a lot of ways in Avodat Hashem, and options, and options, and options, and options. And on yourself, that you're not good, that you're bad, that you're lazy, that you're a bum, that you're vicious, that you're cruel, that you're useful, that nothing gonna be good can come, nothing good can come out from you, and all other kinds of lies. The truth is that you have a holy neshama that finds her chiyut inside of the Torah by the merit of the tzaddik from Borei Olam, and this is it. And there is nothing else for a person that wants really to serve Hashem. No options. There is only one. And od milvado, nothing except of Hashem. You fail? Great. Thank you, Hashem, for pushing me down. I was arrogant, probably. So you pushed me to my place that I'm going to remember who I am. That I'm nothing. That I'm a creature in your hands. The humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a humility that all of us have to have. Let's start with that. Remove the cover, first cover. First. Humility, this is a basic foundation of Am Yisrael, that we cannot step one step in Avodat Hashem without it. To know that it's all good from the hands of Hashem. And the test, how you're going to know if you're humble or if you're arrogant, if you're happy or if you're sad. This is the test. When you're sad, it means that you are assuming that you are so important and no one is fulfilling your obligation. No one is yotzei ide chova to supply your high-level needs. Not to be a talmid chacham like you think you should be, not to have your mate a shidduch like you were assuming or you are assuming that you should have, and not to have money, enough money to be generous and to give donations and all stories. Stories on stories on stories. And Hashem is not listening to your prayers. It's because you're arrogant. You think you're worthy. You think you're bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu. And even if you're going to be Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not going to be enough for you until you're going to get that promise of the snake that said, V'item ke'elokim. You're going to be like God. Until you're going to be God, means a foreign idol, you're not going to be happy. Until you're going to be like Haman HaRasha, you're not going to be happy. Nothing going to help. But a humble person, that he is sure that he is a creature, that he's been created by the hands of Hashem Yitbarach. So everything good that he's going to find in himself, he's going to be so thankful to Hashem Yitbarach that he's got it, because he's going to realize that he never created himself. The mistake is like Paro. Paro said, "Li Ori v'Ani Asitini," right? Ani. He had that kfira that he created the Yeor, the Nile, and he created himself. A person have that kfira inside of himself. I heard the shiur of a Rav from maybe 15 years ago that Rav is asking, why on Tefillin you have maybe one verse or two verses, two or three lines that are explaining to you the importance of tefillin, and on Shabbat the same, and on a lot of holy, huge mitzvot, Beit HaMikdash, short parashot, short verses are explaining, but when you come to Korach, You see a huge, long parasha. When you come to Paro, you see all of the character of Paro and on Bilam and on Balak, all of the stories. Rav is asking over there, why weren't they going to tell us what they were eating at lunch? Why we need to hear so many details on those horrible people? Why the Torah is coming to teach us on those horrible people? To tell you that you can be as Paro, and you need to learn how to go out from that midah. And if you have that midah of I created myself, means that you're arrogant because you're wise, because you look good, because you're rich, means that you think that you created your money, that you've done something for that. You created your wisdom. You've done something to be wise. So you need to learn a lot how to go out from those bad midot. To be like Korah, not to be like Korach, not to be like Bilam, not to be like all of the Reshaim. The Torah is telling on them. She's not telling on them. She's telling on us, on our Yetzer Hara. How that we're going to break our Yetzer Hara. Not to contradict the Tzaddik, never, never not to be like Korach. Never to contradict the Tzaddik. If someone is taking those words from his mouth that you're not allowed to go to Uman, that what, you joined that cult of Breslev, I don't know what, that person becomes to be like Korach in a moment. In a moment. Korach, all of the heads of Sanhedrin were supporting Korach. All of the heads of Sanhedrin. Think today, all of Rashi Yeshivot, all of the biggest tzaddikim that you can recognize outside, they're all supporting Korach. And only the simple women and poor people were supporting, and two weird, very weird people, Moshe Yoshua and Caleb ben Yefuneh, are supporting Moshe Rabbeinu. This is it. And Moshe is with Am Yisrael, with the poor, with the simple women. And all of the Talmidei Chachamim, all of the chief rabbis, all of them supporting Korach. So how are you going to attach yourself to the tzaddik? Only, you know, it's a war. It's a mesirut nefesh. This is what the Yismach Moshe said, that it's a huge, huge level that he had in that generation not to contradict Moshe. He wasn't supporting Moshe. Just he wasn't contradicting Moshe. It was a void, nimna, neutral. And it was a huge level, because you saw all of the hugest rabbanim, rabbis in that side with Korach. We need to understand that it's a generation of mesirut nefesh. To attach ourselves to the truth, not going to support you. Your wife never going to support you, forget it. Your parents never going to support you, forget it. Your friends never going to support you, forget it, forget it, forget it. It's a mesirut nefesh of yours and in front of Hashem Yitbarach. This is it. What's your desire? What's your will, real will? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to check you again and again and again and again and again and again. And everyone going to betray you, and everyone going to argue with you, and everyone going to insult you and going to... I don't want to talk more. Everyone going to stand against you. Because you have to penetrate that klipa, to break that klipa, and to find the sweet, sweet, sweet fruit. That we don't have no merit to have that. So we have to show our real mesirut nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want the truth. I don't care. I will be poor, I will be left alone, I will not have no answers, I won't have my shiduch, I won't have my house, I won't have no friends. I don't care, Bara Olam. I want you. If you're humble, you're going to show that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with a wife, with a house, with family, with kids, with parnasah, you're going to show to Him that you're dedicating your life to Avodat Hashem with all of those coverings. And you're not going to be confused from that. But if you're going to be confused, HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to test you. And those tests can be very hard sometimes. This is why the best advice is to learn humility when you have things. And not to let HaKadosh Baruch Hu ground you, bring you down to the floor, to surrender you. So every day in the Itbodedut, we need to surrender ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Shalom said, every time that I feel a little bit of judgment, dinim, I'm saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I surrender. I surrender. Surrender, first of all, white flag. This is it. First of all, white flag, surrender. Not fighting, Bo'olam, I'm not fighting. Not fighting. If you're standing tall, you can fall down. If you're lying on the floor, no one can push you nowhere. No one can push you nowhere. So you should learn to go down. You should learn to go down, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to raise you up. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpil geim, he's pushing down the arrogant people, and he is magbiya shfalim, and he's lifting the low people. Eshko nedaka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he lives with the low people. Low people means humble people. Humble people is people that are working on their humility. Zacha na'aset lo sam chayim, if he purified himself, the Torah is going to be cure of life for him. If he haven't worked, purified on himself, it's going to be poison for him. What is that test? What going to test you if you are worthy or not worthy? What is that thing? It's your intention, your kavana. What you want to achieve from your Avodat Hashem. If from Avodat Hashem you want to achieve greatness, gadlut, to be important, to be called a rabbi, to be rich, to have honor, to succeed in life, so you failed. But if you want to see your lackings, your humility, to learn humbleness, anava, so you made it. A person that is walking, I told that story to one of the friends here. I don't remember the tzaddik. I think it was the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Iger, that his name was Rabbi Leibel Iger, Belon Eder. And he attached himself to the Rabbi Mikotsk, to the Kotzke Rebbe. Uh-oh. What? Uh-oh, exactly. This is what his father and his father-in-law thought. Uh-oh. And his father-in-law once sat with him for a conversation and told him, listen, explain to me, you're wise, you're a genius. Explain to me why you're attaching yourself to the Hasidut. Because, and the father-in-law explained, and he said, because in every place that I'm looking on Hasidim, I see that they're drinking too much, and they're talking too much, and they're not learning enough. And every place that I'm looking on our place, I see people that are dedicating their life to Avodat Hashem, that are learning a lot, and living in Mesirut Nefesh, and not enjoying this world at all. So tell me, why you went to the Hasidut? So he answered to him, the Rabbi Leibel Iger, he answered to him, because I have the same eyes like yours, and I see the same. And because that I have those eyes, and I see those lackings in the Hasidut, this is why I want to change my eyes. Because in the Hasidut, when you're looking, you see the other side. They also see in the side of the Hasidut that they're not learning enough, and that they're drinking too much, and that they're doing shtuyot. They see that. And also when they're looking at you, they see that you are dedicating your life to Avodat Hashem. So I want to be in their side, to see the good things in the other sides, and not to look for the lackings and the chesronot in my friend. I'm going to that side just because I want to have good eyes. I want to be humble. I want to see the good things that you have, and not the lackings that you have. This is something that is attaching us to the truth. We don't want the success. Lama v'totzaot, the result's going to come after death. Who wants to see the results? We don't want to see the results. We want to dedicate our lives to Avodat Hashem. We want to attach ourselves to have good eyes, to good midot. To attach ourselves to the faith, to the simple faith of them all, that there is a Creator. If this is not the pshat of Avodat Hashem, that there is a Creator that can help you in everything in your life, and no one else can help you in nothing in your life, so what means faith? Simple faith. You need parnasa, go talk about it with Hashem. You need shalom bayit, go talk to the king that he owns the peace. Lem melech shalom shalom. You need chokhmah bina vadat, go to the one that is chonenu mitcha chokhmah bina vadat. He's the one that is giving to us the wisdom. No, I'm going to do all of my ishtadluyot for shalom bayit and for parnasa and for... How are you going to learn? How are you going to be happy? How are you going to honor your wife? You're just going to hate her, that because of her you're running all day long to bring money, and just because of her you cannot learn enough Torah. How are you going to have shalom bayit? Shlom Bayit needs to dress himself in bitterness, that we're going to learn humility. That we're going to learn humility, that we're going to learn to attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to know for sure that we cannot achieve nothing, but nothing, but nothing without the help of Hashem Yitbarach, loving kindness of Hashem Yitbarach. Nothing. No success. When Rabbi Natan was going without a button in his shirt, Rabbeinu told him, "What, you thought that you can manage by yourself to sew a button?" He asked him, "Why haven't you daven on that? You thought that you can sew a button by yourself without the help of a Kadosh Baruch Hu?" We cannot do nothing without Hashem. And this is it. And this is a rule from now on. This is it. I'm walking with Hashem. And Hashem is walking with me. And this is it. You need to work, each and every one of us need to work on his faith in himself. You should believe in yourself that Hashem loves you. That Hashem loves you. That Hashem wants to be with you. He's desiring to be with you. He doesn't have nothing in his world except of being with his only son. This is how he's looking on each and every one of us. And it calls faith in himself, to believe in yourself, that you're important. Who is more important than you, guys? Tell me, who is more important than a person that is dedicating himself, uprooting himself from Tuma, throwing himself into Eretz Israel, a place that he doesn't understand the language, he doesn't have friends, he doesn't have nothing here. No future, no options, no support, no love, no nothing. And he's dragging himself alone, in his bare hands, finding his path. Against his wife's will, against his family will, against all of logics. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Mesirut Nefesh. You think that he's got someone that's going to be more important than you? That you are dedicating your life to Avodat Hashem. And you are, and it doesn't matter where you're holding in Avodat Hashem. Because this is your ability. You don't have a desire like his. He doesn't have a desire like his. And he doesn't have a desire like his. And none of us have a desire like Rav Shalom Arush. Now we're going to chase ourselves. Why we're not Rav Shalom Arush? Hashem wants he to have one Rav Shalom Arush. Hashem going to give him long and sweet life. Baruch Amen. Hashem. And we don't want to replace him. Everyone have his level. And everyone needs to be happy with his share. And this is your share. And this is your Avodat Hashem. And start being happy with what you do have. If you're going to check your friends where they're holding, your friends that you left them 10 years ago, that you were in the same level, in the same place. Where are they holding today with their dog, walking outside, walking their dogs every day? Check where they're holding in their Avodat Hashem. Check where they're holding. It's not fun, you're laughing at Jews. Just need to have mercy on them. Just need to have mercy on them and to be so happy with what that we gained in our Avodat Hashem. And you gained it. And you achieved it. And every day you're coming to Yeshiva, and every day you're learning Torah, and every day you're looking at heaven and you're saying, "Hashem, please." Once a day, you're looking, you remember. Hashem is giving you that memory. And once in a while you're going to the mikveh, and once in a while you're doing something in Mesirut Nefesh, and you're donating, and you're giving a little bit of tzedakah, and something, and you're surrendering yourself, and you're doing tshuva, mitzvah of tshuva. En Israel nigalim ela b'tshuva. Nothing going to save Am Israel except of tshuva. And you're doing tshuva every day. Every day. If you come to those shiurim, for sure you're doing tshuva every day, no doubt. Yamakom Gorem, the place is creating that. You cannot avoid tshuva. From Hirurei Tshuva, in this place, you cannot avoid it. You're coming here immediately. Tshuva, tshuva, tshuva. One of the friends told me, he went, he's not learning here anymore. He told me when he's going to a different yeshiva, he feels the taste of Torah over there. He feels the taste of Torah, the desire to the Torah over there, a lot stronger than here. But he said, "But when I'm coming here, I feel like they're taking me in the shirt and telling me, do tshuva, forcing me, do tshuva, do tshuva, do tshuva." This is what the Rabbi Nachman Nivreslev, the Epikorsim, there was the Epikorsim that were attaching themselves to Rabbi Nachman Nivreslev. They were under oath. They agreed between themselves, before they met Rabbi Nachman, they never going to mention the name of Hashem Yitbarach between them in conversations. They wanted to contradict Judaism so much that they made an oath that they never going to mention the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore in their lives. One of them, after a while that they came to the shiurim of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he said to his friend, he said, I feel, the same words that that friend said. He said, I feel that they're pulling me, dragging me within my, from my shirt, and tell me, Chaykel, there is Elohim, there is Elohim. Chaykel, there is Elohim. Rebuking us from heaven, every day. We have to jump with all of our weight on that train, and just to hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not going to push us off, Chas Shalom, from that train. This is it. It's going somewhere. Our life are going somewhere. And we need to help another one to jump on that wagon, another one to jump on that wagon, and not to fall. Hold yourself strong. Don't do nothing. You're not in charge. You're not driving that bus. We have that YouTube. You're not driving that bus. You're a passenger. It's a train. Rabbeinu said, count on my power. Count on my power. We just need to attach, to bond ourselves to the real tzaddikim, that they are doing everything not to contradict Moshe, not to argue with Moshe, to accept everything, to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take our head down like Rabbi Akiva. Mm-hmm. When Rabbi Akiva been saved from the sea, there was a storm, and Rabbi Akiva were in the boat, and it crashed, it ruined, and in the end he arrived to the shore. So they asked him, how you been saved? So he said, I bend my head to every wave that came to cover me. Means he brought his head down. This is the way. If you're trying to be arrogant, to hold yourself above the water, all of those waves are going to crash into your face. You're not going to have the ability to stand in all of the tests. Only humility. And to count, it's going to pass. That suffering gonna pass. That hard time gonna pass. Those bad news gonna disappear like thousands on bad news that we heard until today. Of bad things, bad rumors, and fears and anxieties that we had. All of them, where are they? Went with the wind. Also that one gonna go. Gonna pass with the wind. Nothing gonna stay. Only the truth gonna stay. Because it exists forever. Thank you very much. What do you think?